Brother Burrell will now offer a prayer.
Our most holy and beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the many wonderful blessings Thou hast bestowed upon us, the many benefits Thou hast showered upon us. We thank Thee most of all for the gift of Thy Son to be our Redeemer and the Captain of our salvation. We thank Thee for Thy word of truth. We thank Thee for the light Thou hast given us. We ask at this time Thy blessing upon us here before Thee as Thy children, likewise upon all Thy children throughout the world, wherever they may be. We ask a special blessing upon our brother Patience, who will bring forth to us further thoughts from the Book of Life, the Holy Bible. We ask that he also shall be used, as many others have been, to help us to understand better Thy plans and purposes, and receive these both into our minds and into our hearts. We ask Thy forgiveness also for all things that we have done amiss, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, it seems to be Pennsylvania afternoon, doesn't it? We've had our brother Burrell from Philadelphia. Now we have Brother Patience. Brother Harry Patience from Pittsburgh. And Brother Patience is going to talk to us on the subject of the saved and the lost.
First, I'd like to bring to you, brethren, the love and greetings of Sister Patience and the rest of the brethren back home in Pittsburgh, that they were not able to be with us here today. Some of the brethren, like the Embarakos family, who had been here practically every time in the past years, this year they were not able to be here, and so they sent their love and greetings, and especially told me to mention them by name. Our subject for this afternoon is based on words of St. Paul to the second epistle of Corinthians, the second chapter beginning with the 14th verse. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? As we know, brethren, that the salvation in this gospel age is only the call of the little flock to be members of the body of Christ, and that of the divine nature. In this age, there is no such thing as a primary salvation and a secondary salvation. Yes, we know, and I believe it, that there will be the little flock and the great company, and some of the ones who have been called during this gospel age will not make it and go to the second death. But in the language of the Bible, only those who will inherit the kingdom, only those who will be raised in the first resurrection, are the ones mentioned that have been transferred from death unto life. The others will wait for the other plan of God that will take care of things later, in other words. For example, we read in Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 13th verse, the Lord said, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The ones here, few that find it, are the body of Christ, the little flock. Now, we come also into the 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter and the 18th verse. We read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The ones here mentioned that are saved are the ones who will inherit the kingdom, join heirship with our Lord. This, brethren, is important in the fact that we are not called with the hope, if we don't make it 100%, we'll be satisfied with a second place somewhere. This thought is not encouraged in the Bible. No one is encouraged to say, "Oh, well, I'll drag along whatever I can get." That is not the thought in the Scriptures for us. Either we have consecrated our all or nothing, or we are not consecrated. We gave all. St. Paul wrote and said, "Those who live according to the flesh, they will die." He didn't say, "If you live 50% of the in the flesh and 50% of the spirit, you will gain something." That isn't the thought. The thought is that we are to prove ourselves faithful. The great company is not predestinated, is a byproduct of the call of the church. And it is not mentioned honorably in the Scriptures. We find it in a roundabout way, like when St. Paul said, "For one to be cast out into the devil, that his flesh might be destroyed and his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord." And other Scriptures in a similar manner. So we come back then, brethren, into our text. And I will read it this time from the Diaglot. It gives a little better rendering, a little better way to understand it. "Now thanks be to that God who always lead us forth to triumph with the Anointed One, and who diffuses by us the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place." Notice the word here is the proper translation. "And who diffuses by us the knowledge of Him," or the knowledge of Himself. It is God who has been using St. Paul to spread the knowledge, to diffuse it, to give it out. And as a result, though, he says we are a sweet odor unto Christ, of Christ unto God, among those who are being saved, meaning among those who will be inheriting the kingdom and among those who are perishing and among those who will not make it, who will fail. And he says, to these indeed, the author of death unto death, and to those, the author of life unto life. The knowledge of God is the same. The servants of God are the same. But the result is not the same on everybody. And that is the thought we get here. To those who will be saved, in other words, in a plain language, and put here in mind, to those who will inherit the kingdom, this is an order of life unto life. And to those who will fail to inherit the kingdom is an order of death unto death. What is the cause? The message is the same. The knowledge diffused is the same, but the effect is different. Therefore, brethren, it isn't with the knowledge the fault, but with the ones who hear it. And there is the fault. It is a matter of interpretation and application of this knowledge. St. Paul gives us one of the reasons in the following verse of this chapter that I'm reading. In the 17th verse, he says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Corrupting the word of God has been a cause of many to lose their crowns, and causing others also to lose their crowns. This word here, corrupting, is derived from a Greek word used particularly so whenever they go to the market and buy wine. And if the wine is diluted with water, and that was corrupted, you see. The word is kapilebomen. In other words, they take the pure stuff and they dilute it, and it's not pure. Applying that then to the word of God, with what is diluted? Traditions of man, isn't it? Yes, traditions of man. That is the reason, brethren, that we find that so many sincere Christians in the world, and yet they're not going to form a part of the elect of the church. You find sincerity in all the denominations, and yet they don't form a part of the little flock. And we may be sincere in our beliefs, but let us make sure first that what we believe is the truth and not deluded by the human tradition. St. Peter, in his epistle, the second epistle, the third chapter, beginning with the 15th verse, I'm going to find it. Speaks about St. Paul, who has written to the brethren, and it says, of which St. Paul has written about these things also, but some have corrupting it I read rather from the dialogue. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them concerning these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which the uninstructed and unstable pervert. It's the same thought here of corrupting it, twisting it. Pervert, as also other scriptures, to their own destruction. To their own destruction. In other words, the pure word of God is essential, undiluted, and uncorrupted. How we hear the words of God and what we do with them will decide whether we will inherit the kingdom or not. We must not, I don't think it is proper, that we accept everything from one just because he said it. He said it. Or reject the words of another just because he said it. We must be grown enough to discern between truth and error, and accept what is truth and reject what is error. St. Paul, writing to Hebrews, he said the meat is for the grown-ups who, by habit or by use, have their senses exercised, and they can discern between good and evil. Do we, brethren? Can we discern? The truth is not ours until we make it our own. And we'll never make it our own if we believe it just because someone said it. I mean, a brother or a sister or someone. The only time it is ours, when we prove it from the Bible. And I like that expression of Brother Macaulay. Thus said the Lord. Then we are in the truth. We proved it. Make it our own. Then we are steadfastly solid on the truth. We can hear the word, but what we do with it. We have, brethren, the tendency to always like to listen to some new thoughts, new ideas, and some are by habit, or they like to come along with some new thoughts. They always know that there would be ears listening or readers reading. And there are quite a bit circulating around. Usually they're based on some new interpretations on the Greek language. And that, of course, it amused me sometime. Not too long ago, I received a tract from one of this in this country who said he found a new light on the Greek word telos, meaning end, like the end of the age. He said the Greek word telos does not mean the end, but the beginning. I wrote him back and I told him, the Greek is still Greek to him. And he didn't like it. He wrote back that he took my name out of his files, which I had no objection. Just about 3-4 days ago, one of our sisters in Pittsburgh asked me, what is my opinion on the word, on the Greek word parousia? He said he just heard lately, or read it someplace, that it doesn't mean present. It means being near. Being near, but not present. I told her to tell whoever told her that he don't know his Greek yet. Well, brethren, it's so much of it. This time is short to mention it. I remember one I can never forget. It's a few years ago. A tract I received commenting on the Greek word for brother. He said this Greek word for brother, it doesn't really mean a brother, but one who looks like one. Well, I don't know the difference, but that's what it is. In this struggle of truth and error, we will be solid if what we believe, we have made it our own, and are convinced that thus saith the Lord. Another item by St. Paul in this subject of why the message with some does not have any results and effective results, we found as far as in Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the second verse. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Notice here, bring a comparison between us and the Israelites in the days of Moses. The word of God was preached unto this people, but didn't have any benefit in them. And then St. Paul says, gives the reason why. He says, because was not mixed with faith. Well, brethren, we can apply the same principle into our lives. This is the same reason that the knowledge of God being diffused among us may not profit us, and we may not receive the kingdom unless it is mixed with faith. Faith in what? Faith in His promises, first of what we will get, and also in His promise of help in every time of need for us to get what He promised in the future. That is exactly what happened with the Israelites. They had a promise to enter into the land of Canaan, a land of milk and honey. It's just what they want, what human nature wanted. Rich in everything. But they had no faith in the promises of God that He will help them overcome the obstacles along the way that they will enter in. And so, we find then, for us is the same thing, brethren. What do we meet along the road? Sometimes we meet the necessities of life, and we may call it cost of living, we may call it many other things that have come up, and we feel that we must depend on what we can have on hand to carry us through for tomorrow. This may not be as hard. Don't think of it as serious, in other words, some of us. But the words of the Lord is plain. Carry no thought, he says, of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. We have been taught to pray, Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done, and so forth. And then, give us this day our daily bread. And I know, brethren, none of us have really understood the meaning of these words of our Lord. We never practically have been at that position that we get up in the morning and not having anything to eat, that we pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. To us, it's a false theory, simply a theory, theoretical. 2 years ago, I was down in Greece, and I was sitting in a outside of a home with some friends talking, when a woman walked in. She looked to be poor, didn't say much, I didn't know her. When the landlady gets up, goes into the house, brings a slice of bread out, rather a chunk of bread, smeared with butter, and gives it to her. And she walked away. And on her departure, the woman explained it to us, it's a poor woman having nothing to eat. And she comes there sometimes, and she gives her a bread, so a piece of bread, and she will not starve. Of course, we are being grateful to the Lord. We are not in that condition. But brethren, let us not lose faith in the words of our Lord, that when difficulty and trial comes, that He will help us overcome. Another point I like to mention, brethren, in helping ourselves with the Word of God, that we make our calling and election sure. Let us remember this. The Word of God is given to us to transform us into a new nature, to develop us into a Christ-like character. Through our lives, we will manifest the development. In the Bible, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is good. Saint Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But you know what it is, the tendency of some of us to do? That we transform the Word of God to suit us. In other words, in its application, we corrupt it. And if we don't like something, we make it so by interpreting different to suit ourselves. And if we do that, we will not enter into the kingdom. You see, the Word of God is given that to transform us also, like St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. In this life here it doesn't speak about the glory of the future, but here in the Christ-like character, we must transform ourselves little by little as we go on. Yes, we are imperfect. Every day we're falling short, but also the next day a new effort will be made to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. Therefore, brethren, let us not take these things lightly. If this convention will be of a benefit to us, will depend how we have taken the word of God that has been diffused through this platform. If we have taken it that will transform us, apply those things that we need into our lives, then we will be grown in Christ-like character. Then this convention will have served its purpose for each and every one of us. Yes, it is so by the fellowship of the brethren, seeing their zeal, their faith, their efforts to serve the Lord, we imitate. That is also another reason for we assemble here. And so, then coming back into our original text, the word of God is, it should be to us, alive into life. By making the proper use, we will inherit the kingdom. May the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother Patius, for those good words of admonition. Brother Patius will now offer the closing prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts we bow before the throne of grace to thank Thee for this blessed privilege we have of assembling in Thy name to hear Thy word. We thank Thee for this blessed fellowship we have here with one another and with Thee. And we thank Thee for Thy Holy Spirit that enabled us to understand Thy word. And we pray that Thou fill each and every one of us with Thy Spirit, and our lives be always to Thy honor and glory. Bless us in our efforts to be faithful, and bless us, bless also Thy people the world over, wherever they are, bless them according to their needs. Now be with us for the rest of this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.